Welcome to episode 34 of the Worship Drummer Podcast. This is John Manna, your host. And you are a part of a global group of Christian drummers who are continually striving to put the heart before beat. Why? Because we believe that worship is about the work of your hands and heart. Follow along at worshipdrummer.com, or you can always hit me up on Instagram at worshipdrummer. Thanks for listening and enjoy this episode. What's up, Worship Drummer family? I'm excited to bring you a brand new episode of the Worship Drummer podcast. And just before I introduce our guest, I do want to let you know about Worship Drum Samples. This is something that we launched back in March of this year as Worship Drummer celebrated its 10th anniversary or 10th birthday, however you want to call it. And it's been amazing to serve so many worship drummers with drum samples for worship songs that your churches are playing. And I've received so much feedback. We're continuing to make the platform better and better. But in a nutshell, I just want to let you know, for $12 a month, you gain access to our entire library of worship drum samples. And you can download as many as you want. And we have samples for over 93 songs as of the time of this recording. So if you have, you can just visit the website, worshipdrumsamples.com, click songs or even one shots, check out what's there. Every week we're adding new drum samples. So it's been really fun to do that, to serve our community, but in a different way as well. But nevertheless, I'm excited today to bring you a brand new episode that I recorded, a conversation with someone from Germany, Marcus Dinger. And I'm really, really excited to share this with you. He is our first European guest that we've had on the show. And let me tell you, quite an interesting journey and experience. We talk about things like what has the pandemic done for you? What does ministry look like out in Germany? The fact that he's a teacher. So I ask him like, hey, what are some tips? When I say teacher, of course, I mean drum teacher. And so we have a packed episode to bring you. At the end, we close with a time of prayer. We pray for you guys. I ask Marcus to pray. And so this is episode 34. I'm excited. And so without further ado, I present to you a brand new episode with our guest, Marcus Dinger. Well, hey, Worship Drummer family. I'm so honored to have with us today, Marcus. And I'm going to let you pronounce your last name. Go ahead.
Yeah, in English it's Dinger, but I think in German you say Dinger. It's the German word for things in English, so that's kind of the word, yeah.
Cool, and thank you for coming on the show. You are officially the first European worship drummer to be joining us on the podcast. And listen, it's going to be a great episode. Marcus, I've been following you online for a while. You have, we'll get into the nitty-gritties, but for those who are just joining us, who maybe have never met you officially, you have an amazing YouTube channel. You have a drum course. You have drum samples. Like, you got a whole platform. And eventually in this conversation, I'd love to see how you arrived at all of this. But maybe as we get started, you could just give us the background of who you are. We know you live in Germany, but kind of like what was life like early on? Did you grow up in church? How did you start drumming?
Yeah, thank you so much, John. Thanks for being a guest in your Worship Drummer podcast. Such an honor for me, all the way from Germany to Canada. And the first European drummer to be on the podcast is crazy. I've been following the podcast since the beginning. Yeah, we've been in contact for a few years, pretty much, since we wrote the first time. And yeah, I'm sitting here in my drum lesson room in Germany, in Stuttgart. And yeah, greetings to all you people around the world, international. I have so many friends in America and all over Europe, so I love people around the world. So it's such an honor for me to, I hope to inspire you today and to encourage you and yeah, to just be a blessing to the Worship Drummer community. Thanks so much for having me. So yeah, my story, I am a drummer and a drum teacher. I was born in Germany and I live here around Stuttgart, which is in the south of Germany. We're pretty much close to the Alps, to the big mountains in Europe. And so I was born basically into a Christian family. And so grew up with two brothers. First one started with piano, second one with guitar. I started the drums. It's my guess probably that the more children parents get, the younger ones are able to play drums, because parents don't really care about noise anymore that much. So I was able to play drums. I'm so thankful to my parents. I got my first drum set with 9 years old, because they said I kind of took everything on the table to drum. So they got me a drum set, just for €200 or so, and just an old drum kit. And right away, I had the privilege to get drum lessons at our local music school from the city. So right away, I got lessons, private lessons, and they lasted for 10 years. So I was with the same drum teacher for 10 years. And he was like an orchestral classic drum teacher. So no pop music, like no worship at all. Like I was forced to learn notes, learn the marimba, learn the percussions, like everything you can imagine on drums. And we had a lot of concerts. I remember it's something in Germany, we have some contests where you play in front of a jury. And you can go up like higher levels to like the Germany level kind of. And I remember I played with a group like 6 drummers. I have also some videos on my YouTube like where I play the marimba. And it was all, we had to remember it perfectly in our brain, like no notes at all at the concerts. It was a pretty high standard. So that's how I grew up. Also with the tactics, like the technique of classical drumming, which is way different than pop drumming, right? Because it's more light, you have the guy who's leading the orchestra, and you're not the leading instrument on drums, but you're kind of, you're in the background. So I had the privilege to have 10 years of drum lessons with this guy, and so started at youth group drumming with, I think, around 13, 14 at our church. And then I was first introduced to, that was the time where Hillsong came out with United We Stand. And I played, like all of my youth, I played to Skillet, to Cutlass, to, Hillsong, and what else, Jesus Culture came in sometime, and that's how I grew up. So much fun. I came home from school, I remember, and just hit the drums. It was kind of therapy for me. Like, school was kind of boring, I just hit the drums, and it was really something I really enjoyed. I was also good at sports and all kinds of stuff, but eventually what really stayed with me was the drums till I turned 18, 19. And so during my youth, I played youth events with like 100, 200 people sometimes. We did some connection work in our cities. And then I turned 18, 19. I did my A degree in Germany, like high school finish. I even did that in music. I was the best in the music exam. And then I was like, God, what do you want to do in my life? I had no clue. Like, I knew I love internationals and English and music. And then there was Hillsong College and kind of Bethel and IHOP. That's what I knew. So at that point, I was not able to get to IHOP because internationals were not allowed. So there's this Bible school in Germany, CFN. Yeah. Yes, that was true. This was in 2010. And then we have a Bible school in Germany where my brothers went to, and it's called CFNI Germany. So from Gateway Church and CFNI from Dallas, this is the mother Bible school. This is in Germany, like the daughter Bible school. And so I was like, there is a school of worship. Why don't I just go there and like just start the journey off there? So directly after a degree, after high school, I went there. And this is where all the journey began with all the music. I remember dreaming of becoming kind of a musician, but it was not like my big dream as a little boy. Like, I loved music and I was really good at drums, but I never really thought it's gonna be my job and my calling, my ministry. So then I went to the Bible school and did the school of worship there. First time away from home, wild time, emotionally crazy. And during that time, I started. So before that, I was playing in front of 150 people maybe. So at the Bible school, there were already 200 people living there and they did big events. And so during that time, my first event with 1,000 people, 1,500 people came up, really exciting. And during that time, I got the message from International House of Prayer from Kansas City that internationals are now allowed. So I was thinking about going there, but as a German, yeah, like you need around 10,000 euros to do like a year there with all the flights and stuff. So during that time, I was saving the money and God really kicked me. Like, he gave me money for my grandma and all this kind of stuff. He was like, you're going there. So right before I left to live in America for a year, I started to play for a band in Germany, which is called the Outbreak Band. An English name for a German band, and that's where all the journey started. So we have an event in Germany, it's called Teen Street, and all of internationals, like people from America, all of Europe, even from the Faroe Islands, like this little tiny island, they all come to that event. And so right before I left for IHOP, I played with Outbreak Band at Teen Street. So 5,000 people, big hall, cameras at the drums. I was not used to anything of that. Like, my technique was so bad that my fingers started to hurt, burned, like all kinds of stuff. It was wild, because in a stadium and in a hall, you play different, right? You hit hard and you play like 2 hours a day, really, like. So it was an interesting experience. And then I dropped all of that and went to IHOP. So really wild times, first time flying alone to America, and I was living there with awesome people. I loved it. But this time really changed my life. So there I met, at IHOP, you need to do a prayer time in the prayer room. So that's where I met like Corey Asbury, David Woodworth, like all these people were there. So you're sitting there, me as like this German guy, nobody knows me over there, like nobody. Like, you just played here, big events, you go there, nobody knows you, which was amazing. I just sat there in the prayer room and I really kind of restarted my journey with God. And I discovered so many amazing people. Like, you need to understand, like in Europe, we have all this tradition of churches. And in America, this is really refreshing. So the kind of way I experienced there was people know God differently, and it really inspired me. It kicked me out of fear and emotional weirdness, or like just like confusion sometimes, and it showed me like how people can live with God, and it was really amazing for me. So at IHOP I had drum lessons with a German teacher. It's kind of funny. And I had keys lessons. I was in the choir with Jay Thomas. I don't know if you know him. Like, yeah, Yeah, he became a close friend. Yeah, I still write with him on iMessage. Like he kind of came, hugged me, kissed me. I was kind of his little son. I couldn't sing at all. I was in his choir. That was so funny. So at IHOP, it was my first experience, Music Academy, the IHOP U, what I did there. And in the end, I auditioned for the prayer room. So at IHOP, it's like, Dad, you just sub for somebody when you're on the list, when you're approved, and you show up, you know pretty much nobody, and you just play in front of 10, 20,000 people. So in the end, I got to play with Corey Asbury's worship team because I sub for David there. And I even played like with the bass player for Missy Edwards and like all these people there sometimes. So in the end, I got to play like 8 times or so in the prayer room, and then I flew home. Because during that time, the leader of Outbreak Band asked me, the old drummer is kind of leaving, if I want to come home from IHOP and start at Outbreak Band. And that was really cool for me, because that's kind of, okay, my dreams, like, there can become reality. So I think I would have maybe done it the second year, but so because of that circumstances, I came home. And also went on staff at the Bible school. So from being a student all the time, it was the first time where I was on staff, like a leader. I had to inspire. It was an interesting experience. So, but I came home with all the culture shock like crazy. Coming home to Germany, like loving America. I right away started the Bible school. And 2 weeks later, we went on that big Nightliner tour with Outbreak Band, 16 concerts in 18 days through Germany, Switzerland, Austria. And I'm still like in kind of culture shock, but right away into the music traveling thing. I was 21 there. Played my first music, my first album, live recording with 21. Like all you guys who did live recordings before, you know, as a drummer, you're not allowed to mess up because you got to repeat the whole thing. If you mess up as a singer, no problem. You can overdub. But as a drummer with 21 years old, okay, bro, 13 songs. You got one chance for every fill and every beat. So that was really interesting. If I look at it now, I was like, how did you do that? Like crazy. But huge honor. So on that journey, I got to record multiple CDs in those years. And yeah, so during that time with Outbreak Band, which is kind of who, like for everybody who doesn't know it, in Germany, we don't have a culture like in America. Like in Germany, when I started with like Outbreak Band was founded 13, 14 years ago in 2007. Yeah, that's when it was founded. And I was not the first drummer, so there were some people before. But it was the first German band who actually wrote like fresh Hillsong-like German songs. So I don't know, if you meet like a German young person who is a Christian and you ask them if they know Outbreak Band, usually they know it because it's pretty much the most well-known German worship band over here because we don't have a lot. It's changing right now, like bands are coming and it's a great time where it's flourishing. But back then, it was pretty much the only band. And so it was a huge honor for me to get in there as a, like as this kid kind of still. And it was amazing to go on tour. We toured all of Germany for the last years. I got to play concerts, like we play with Jesus Culture, with Jake Hamilton. We had just recently, a few years ago, we had with Young and Free here in Stuttgart, a big event. And we even played in a stadium here in Nuremberg, which was the Awakening in Europe. Like Ben Fitzgerald from Bethel Church, he came here. He lives around here, like, and he did this holy, like, it was playing in a stadium was crazy, like never before. And we even went with Outbreak Band to Paraguay because it was a German colony. So we flew all the way there, played songs in German, toured there. And I got to meet all these crazy drummers like Brandon Tan and Joe Volk and David Whitworth. And even I had some coffee with Mike Weber. when I was in Reading, because my wife, right in 2012 or so, she went to Reading to do BSSM two times. And so I flew there two times, met all these guys there, went in the studio with the Bethel guys and like learned drum triggering and all these tricks, right? So I came home and I think I also did like a worship drum takeover, like, I don't know, 4 years ago or something.
Which we should do another one sometime.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. If we can play concerts soon again, a lot. That's true. And also, like with Outbreak Band, we released, I don't know, like more than 10 CDs in the last year. Like the last big CD we did is called Atmosphere, which is called Atmosphere in English. And that was like a turning point. It was the first time we recorded around here in a legendary German sound studio. Where like Pirates of the Caribbean, parts of that stuff was recorded here. And it was recorded like with old vintage mics, like Neumann, you call it, the mic brand. It was founded around here from this guy who founded that studio. And the mics are so old that it's called made in West Germany, because it's so old and it's crazy. So all the stuff recorded there, that was kind of a huge privilege for me because it went to Sam Gibson. So we, from that German cute band, we kind of became internationally, especially like at least with the sound. So they flew there and I kind of got to like, they told me like, yeah, he just like mixed the Young and Free album and Brandon Tan's drums. And then the next week, like my stuff. And I was like, that's crazy. Like the first time I heard the sound, I just cried on my... in my home studio. I was like, this is like drums I recorded and it sounds so great. Like, what an honor. And started my YouTube channel a few years back. Tried to do some YouTube covers, like drum tutorials. Actually, the story why I did that is one of my friends, he kind of annoyed me so much because he wanted to play what I play. He said, like, can you just record videos how you do it? And I didn't want to do it, but he just like kept going. So I did it and I haven't stopped yet. So that's kind of the story to it. I just started the YouTube channel. And also when we moved here, so I got married in 2016. We moved here. I worked on staff at the Bible school for 4 years, the whole story with Outbreak Band, all these kind of new things, touring, and it was a wild time, so thankful for it. And then we moved here, and Outbreak Band, the leaders, also moved here, and they started a church here and supported a church here. And I moved here too, because my wife started to study here, and then I started with drum lessons. So then I became a drum teacher. I started with zero students, and right now I have more than 65 students, which is crazy. Not all of them all week, like not every week, but it kind of exploded. And then we moved here, and I said, as long as I don't have children, I have time. You know what I'm talking about. And I'm like, if you're not using your days to practice, you will be so dumb. So I got to a private school here, which is a pro school here for drummers. Like they know Vinnie Colaiuta, like the crazy drum heroes you can imagine. Like they know them personally, right? So 5 years ago, I went there and I was like, I'm a professional drummer. That's what I work, but I want to learn here. So you have to imagine they have 10 levels. And I started with level 2. I did the exam for level 2, level 3, and just before summer, like in July this year, I did 4. You have to play jazz. You have to play spontaneous. Like they give you drum notes and you have to play the technique stuff like spontaneous, like after 1 minute looking at the sheet. So I did all of that and I think I did pretty good, but it's so challenging for me. So here's a message for all of you guys. You never stop being a learner, right? So for me coming here and saying I need to learn was like funny because my teacher has also kids from here and they say like, I want to play that song from Outbreak Band. And they's like, your teacher is here too. And they're like, what does he have to learn? But I know like I'm just a beginner, right? So the last years I'm I've been learning so much, challenge, like playing jazz and all these kind of stuff. And so you never stop learning. And here I am after 20 years of playing drums, a few years, like 8-9 years now in the professional area. Pretty much did what all Christian German little drummer kids dream of. And I'm here and I'm thinking, I'm so thankful that God had this journey for me, and we were able to bless the German country with a lot of German songs, worship songs that have been sung here. Like with Outbreak Band, I think some of our videos hit like a few millions, which is normal in America, but not here. Like, we don't even have that many Christians, I think. I don't really know. So that's kind of the journey, how I landed here, and I'm pretty amazed by what I got to do so far. But we know it's just the beginning. Like, God has so much more in store. And in Germany, that's why I can say we have some things coming up, like Todd White was here so often, Bill Johnson, like so many people come like from schools in America and from all over, and they come to Europe, back to their country, to Germany, and they say, we want to change this country. So I'm really amazed what's happening here. And I know, like, yeah, Europe's going to be saved, man. God is getting ready. And we're all part in it. And I'm so blessed and so thankful.
Yeah. Wow. There's so much that you said that I was trying to, like, keep tabs on to go back and talk about. But before we do that, how did, like, I know different parts of the world, the pandemic, the effects, I should say, of the pandemic are different. A lot of my friends in the States are like, oh, we've never stopped having church. You know, what's physical distancing? How were you affected, or how was Germany these last 18, 19 months for you guys?
Yeah, so when COVID hit, I was in Bali. So with friends from BSSM, from my wife, we flew to Indonesia. And when we went there, we heard something about something. And we flew over Hong Kong, and there were people with masks. And then we were in Bali, even connected with Hillsong Bali. There's like Hillsong in Bali. I connected with the drummer there. I have his number now. And it's called kind of so cool to go to different parts of the world, and you go into the church and you hug people and you just love it. Was just amazing. So we were there coming home, and I flew from Bali to Zurich and directly to Vienna, because I just changed suitcases and went straight to a concert. And that's the last concert we played before COVID hit. And then in Germany, the last time was pretty crazy. Like, we had huge lockdowns, like we couldn't even leave our house after 8 p.m. Like, it was crazy. And so with Outbreak Band, we are partners with Compassion. I don't know if you guys know that, which Hillsong also is a partner, right? And Open Doors, it's also a ministry for persecuted Christians. We are partners with them, flying to places, doing like documentaries. And there's a lot of events that got canceled last year and even this year. But like, these companies did said, like, we want to do like a live stream. So we had, as Outbreak Band, we still had six or seven events in like in the last year now. But it really crushed in, like, I'd say like 20% of what was planned maybe. And for me, like, half of my work is Outbreak Band and touring also with other bands. And half of it is drum teacher. So for me, pretty much half of my income broke away. But my wife is also working. And as a drum teacher, I kind of got creative, which you can talk about too. And I got some new students. So I was able to compensate that. But like, the fourth or fifth event, you just play in front of a camera and no people. You are like, I want to have people back, right? So at one point I got annoyed just playing for the camera and for God, but just the camera in the room. And I was like, we want to have concerts again. And then we had some auto, like a car cinema concerts, you know, like with a LED screen and people. Yeah, the drive-in concert. That was kind of fun. That was interesting, a creative idea to still do it. And which is some big things. We had some big events with Planet Shakers and with United, I think, in Cologne in Germany. They got canceled. We had some amazing events in Budapest, like a big thing with Martin Smith and some of these people. And also we had, which is really amazing, like a tour we wanted to do in Israel. So we have companies here that do Christian, like for churches, do a trip to Israel and look where Jesus lived. And so they came up with this idea to take Outbreak Band and go with like a group of 100 people to Israel. And we do worship where people, where Jesus walked around. Like this, the garden and the sea, and like everywhere where Jesus was, just do some little concerts. And I was really excited because I've never been to Israel. And that was planned for 2020. Got canceled 2020. Was planned for 21. Got canceled in 21. I'm really sad because I want to do that, right? Like being in Israel for a week, having vacation, and still get paid a little bit as a musician. That's like a dream. So, it has been both. It has been really time. I also read the book of Jeremy Riddle, The Reset, which is an amazing book. Like all these topics he's talking about and all this season, I think it's also revealing a lot of beautiful stuff in us Christians and what we as churches need to think about. But also it has been kind of, as a musician, you can say like, okay, let's just sit in front of a TV like, this is a bummer, but that's not my mindset, right? I was like, I'm a creative, so I need to get creative, and there's ways. So I started, yes. So when I hit like this 65 students, I was like, that's a lot of students, and I need to create something where people can do lessons with me, but I don't need to sit there, right? I would rather be like a feedback guy who like feedbacks what they are learning on the journey. And so I just sat down last summer, wrote a script, sat down in a studio from a friend around here, locked myself up for 3 days in the studio, slider camera, GoPro, studio, like wireless Pro Tools thing for the room, and then I just recorded myself for straight 3 days, like crazy, like 450 gigabytes or so, or of material, and then I cut it for half a year. Like I did this online drum course. Well, the bummer is for all the people that speak English, for now I did it in German, so it's only in German. And I thought about doing it in English too, but then I was like, okay, most people that know me are Germans, so I do it in German first. But like for everybody who's listening now and you're interested, also on my homepage is also in English. You can just write me. If there are some people that are interested in English, I can like do a subtitle thing or even like speak it in English too. I'm thinking about it. So when people are interested in it, I packed in that course all the technique basics and advanced stuff and even creative stuff, but a lot of drum sound too and worship drummer topics too. And then even I did a topic on becoming a drum teacher or like in general a music teacher. What is the art of loving to bless people with learning something? Like I have so many musician friends that are awful teachers because they don't have like mercy and patience with the student. But as soon as you love that somebody can do something that they couldn't do before, I really kind of fell in love with helping people to become better. If they're playing their first drum beat, you can say like, that's so easy, man. Like that's not something to celebrate. But as a teacher, you know, like, dude, that is amazing. You couldn't do that before. You can do it now. This is your first drum lesson. So I kind of like this drum teacher mindset. Even Mike Johnson really influenced me. I met him 2 times here on clinics. And like just the art of celebrating your passion is so amazing. And so I tried to pack all of that in the drum course. And it was also kind of a COVID thing. So I was like, let's use the time, let's do something. And that was the first step for me. It was a wild journey. Like the first night where I recorded it, I couldn't even sleep. Like my mind was going crazy, like all these stuff in my head. But now I know, like, just an opportunity to grow, right? Do something, people, do something, get creative, go on the water. If you have a passion, if you have ideas, just go for it. So for me, yeah, it's available in German right now. And you also get to be part of my Facebook group where people support each other. And right now it's in German, but just write me, we'll figure something out. Yeah.
Yeah, and I want to add to that, because this isn't an infomercial, by the way. Like, let's do a podcast so we can plug your course. But for me, like, I've always seen everything that you've done. You've done it with excellence. Like, just your YouTube drum covers, I'm like, this guy puts in a lot of effort and attention to the details, the angles, the sound. And I value that. So when I saw your page with the video course, the video explainer video that talks about the course and all of that, I was just like, Marcus, man, good on you. Everything that I've seen you put out through the years has always been, you know, top notch, excellent. Even your vacation video with the drone.
It's true.
I'm like, this guy is amazing. Did you fly that drone on vacation?
Yes. So also like a COVID thing, like, because there's not a lot of concerts right now, usually I would post like drum videos, right? And we're on a concert, just some videos like this event, that. I don't have a lot of drum content to post right now because we're not on tour a lot, like just occasionally. So I was like, a drone is fun. And then DJI came out with this drone that you don't need a license and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, this is fun because I love to do videos, right? I have this YouTube channel. And so I just bought it. And like with the first sales of the drum course, I was like, let's go, let's do it. And I just brought it with me. Like, if you want to check out some nice drone shots of Europe, I just have some videos on my Instagram, my YouTube. It's like you can cut it on your phone. It's so intentional, easy. Like, you just get all the shots on your phone and you can like cut it with the app, and it's pretty much like waiting on a flight, you can edit like the video of your vacation. And I just love, like, what you said, like excellence. And also, this is also like a new dimension for me. And my wife is like, it brings you so much joy. So I enjoy you doing it. And yeah, which is fun too.
Yeah, no, it's cool. And I think it's important for me personally. What's always helped me grow, and let's stick with drums for now, is recording or capturing what I'm doing and then playing it back, listening, and then evaluating, right? Analyzing.
True.
How was my timing? Was I in the pocket? I rushed that fill, or you know, that build wasn't even, you know, hitting the notes, whatever. So as a teacher now, right? Let's put on your teacher hat. And what are some tips that you could give some, let's say, newer worship drummers who want to improve? And maybe they've plateaued, they're kind of like stuck at this place, but they want to grow, they want to keep learning. What are some things or some advice you can give to them on that end?
Yeah, sure. Get some people to feedback you is really awesome. Like, I have always good relationship with the sound guys. Ask, like, how am I sounding? Like, am I too loud? How's the sound? Like, improving the sound. Like, worship drums is not like the hardest technical stuff to play, but we, like, as worship drummers, put a lot of value and effort and work into the sound, right? We want that big sound. So it's on your end to be able to play like that and to have the gear like that and to use the gear like that. So improving simplicity, but yeah, beauty kind of, is really amazing. So the simpler the better, but also like all these, like Paul Mabory does, like these little things on the Hyatt, and like the beauty in the also the little things to add, and how you like use your hi-hat when you're not playing on the hi-hat, and all this kind of feel stuff, just the details, but still have that pocket and have that vibe, have that like what they told me when I started to play with Outbreak Band was like, I need you to be my strong, like who holds it together, right? And I was coming from that church, yeah, the backbone. I came from a church where I was always like with hot rods and like just like too loud all the time. So I came to that, to Outbreak Band, and he was like, please give me that simple, strong backbone. I need that security. So guys, don't play too much. Play simple, yet try to improve the little beauty and the little specials. Like on the Hyatt, you can do like some doubles and some triple, like it, but keep like the kick and snare really there. That's kind of an advice. But to learn, you're always a learner. So for me, after 20 years, to go to a school and say, I'm a beginner, I want to learn, that's kind of the first step to know you never reach the goal. Like every drummer would say that to you. Like every drummer who's now 70, 80 years, it's like, I'm not there yet. But improve, like get a teacher, get material, be inspired, and always have something to work on. But when you practice, be real, like have specific, reachable goals that don't discourage you, but have some routines going. And I just love that part of the sound. Like one of the feedbacks I even got now is like, Marcus, you can play stuff. Like you're at home at the rock, like you can play rock and you can play that worship stuff a little bit, but to have that feeling for how is the drum responding, like the feedback was, Marcus, you can play, but when you hit the right cymbal, the sun doesn't start to shine. So that's kind of like, wow, that's a level to talk about things, right? He was like, you can have 10 drummers that hit a right cymbal, 9 are like, okay, but the one, wow, he's hitting the right cymbal like that. Like, that's what I'm talking about, having that sweetness, like you're one with the instrument. That's a huge point, but also just playing with a band, play a lot with other people. And what I always love from David Whitworth at IHOP is like, he just smiled, he had charisma. And when I was sitting there as a young boy at IHOP, I was like, I want to have something I'm giving with my personality when I play. So I don't want to sit there like that being angry or looking at the drums. I want to connect. So the first videos I saw of myself like playing Happy Day and looking like that, I was like, that's not the message. So I was like, I want to start to live that thing. So now when I play concerts, I'm always connecting with all of the musicians, connect with the people, connect with your bass player, love him, like love with the, like connect with the people. And especially people, I don't know, like people love to watch the drummer, right? Little boys, little kids, just, I think it's because drummers move so much. It's movement, right? So you can change the fact that you are being observed, right? So use that to make worship joyful. We'll use that to transfer something. And that's always my goal. And that's something people say to me. It's like, it's so much fun to watch you. I love watching you play because you're not like intimidated, but you're outgoing and just have charisma, smile, like write a big smile on your snare to remind yourself of smiling and just become better. Like try to be excellent, try to be the best that you can be. Don't try to copy people, because we're all the sum of all the influences we had, right? So be you. God needs you to be that Marcus, that Jonathan, that David. He needs you to be you, and you have a specific sound and a feel, and nobody else can do that. So find who you are and just then become the best you can be there.
Come on. That's a good word for someone at least out there to hear. So cool. Question in regards to drummers that have influenced you. But before you answer that, is Marco Minima a German drummer? Do you know Marco Minimum? Minima? Minimum?
Maybe. I don't really know him, I think.
The reason he's not a Christian drummer, but I remember years ago growing up in Montreal, every year we had a Montreal drum fest. And so I got to see Vinny, got to see all of these top guys come through. And when this guy, Marco Minima, if that's his last name or Minima, played, I'm pretty sure he's from Germany. Like, I was there with three or four friends. It was a Saturday night, and then church was coming up the next morning. And that was like the grand finale. And if I'm going to find a video of him, I'll link it in the show notes for this episode with all of your links as well that we've talked about.
Wow.
But I was wondering, it's been years since I've like looked him up, but like polyrhythms, just everything that you could imagine that would blow your mind, he crammed into like his half an hour performance. And it left a massive impression on all of us that were there. But anyways, who are some of your influences? They could be church or secular, doesn't matter.
Yeah. So growing up, I didn't really know a lot of church drummers. So the big drummer that my drum teacher loved where I was 10 years was Dave Weckl. It was his favorite. So I went to see a concert, and all of us drummers, like even my drum teacher, we couldn't figure out like where is the one at all. Like we have no idea. He was even sick with fever and he was like almost dying, but playing like a crazy. Like, so that was kind of, this is a world I don't know. Like these guys are just wild. So Dave Weckl, and then of course like the Hillsong guys, where I was growing up, and then even like the Skillet, like the girls drumming, like that was just the groups that I grew up with. But then when I got to play drums a little bit more seriously, I really loved Darren King. So from Mute Math, Mute Math. So I got to see him in Kansas City and in Germany. Wild beast, guys. He is. I think he even played like the stuff for Aethron, right? For Cho and all these people. Yeah. So Darren King was just like, he really inspired. I even played like one song of Outbreak Band, like kind of that Control, like the Chaos. I don't know, this Mute Math, the album, like the shuffle thing. He really influenced just like that. The drive of a drummer, even simply, like he doesn't have a big hit, right? So I love him. And then, of course, all these guys that came up, like David Whitworth, Joe Volk, Brandon Tan, like even like the Plan Checker guys, always like all of my drum students, my drum students come and like, I want to play that Planet Checker thing again. And I was like, okay, let's get to those fills and all these kind of stuff. So always inspired me. But also some German guys like Benny Grab. I don't know if you know him. Beast, yeah. And Chris Coleman, do you know this guy? He was at the Meinl Drum Festival. So I have a friend, he works for Meinl and Tama. And so I got to go to the Meinl festivals where like all these beasts, like even Luke Holland was there, and then you meet all of these people. Annika Nilles, like the German drummer queen. Yeah, so all of these people. And I met all of them. But Chris Coleman, I think he grew up in church and he's also a church. He was owning the room. He honored like Meinl, like Roland Meinl, like the founder of Meinl cymbals. Like he honored him in front of everybody. He like nobody was like him. It was crazy. It's even on YouTube. You can look at Chris Coleman at Meinl Drum Festival. It really impressed me. So I think these are some drummers. Of course, the church drummers that I mentioned. And yeah, I think that's pretty much it. It's kind of a mix of like the Darren King vibe and these kind of just special drummers that carry something. And then all these kind of drummers that really influence the worship music. I think we're all a mix of all these types of drummers we love, and then we put in our little sauces and ingredients, and then every drummer is just a beautiful sound of uniqueness, right?
Amen. And here's the question of truth. If no one has seen your videos, do you play minor cymbals?
I don't play minor cymbals, but I can tell you guys what I'm playing.
Yeah, so for the gear nerds, let's just, because in Europe, like, you know, we're maybe a little ignorant perhaps of like, what do you have access to? You have like heartbeat cymbals, Istanbul, like just let us know. You walk into a drum store, what do you see? But then let us know what you play as well.
Yeah. So when I was, I always loved Tama drums. So I also have Tama drums here, but it's from the school. And I love minor cymbals. I was even at the factory. I looked at, like, I know even like Roland Meinl, like the founder of Meinl, right? When there was the time where I had to get like a set for Outbreak Band, like my drum kit, I was in contact with the guys from Truth Drums. And for us Germans, yeah, you need to understand, like in Germany, we don't have a lot of support. Like we were the first German band who would be cooperating with 64 Audio, like the in-ears. We were the first German band, I think. Yeah, endorsement. Yeah, like the endorsement deals. And I still have mine, love them. So that was kind of the first where American kind of products came here. And we were some kind of like a German band who got some endorsements. And but like with Truth Drums, I got that snare, right? I can on my videos you see it. It sounds amazing. So when I was playing at that stadium in Europe, in that time I was like, I want to have that snare, like that baffle sound, you know? I want to bring that to Germany. So Truth Drums basically built me that same snare drum that David uses. It's pretty much the same, like even the gold, black and everything, and with the 42 strings and like all kinds of stuff, right? So that's my snare. And then I wanted to get the whole kit, but for Germans you pay a lot of taxes for a kit like that, like a custom kit to come here, and like your endorsement, like I already had the endorsement deal, it's like it doesn't matter because you pay the taxes for the, you know, like it doesn't really make sense. So I found that German dude who builds drums. His name is DR Customs. He builds German drum kits, like drum kits in Germany, handmade. And so he basically built me that golden sparkle with black chrome hardware kit, which I love. It's mahogany and maple. Like it's dark, bright wood. And he said he never built it, but I wanted to have that warm and that rock sound. And it's awesome. I love it. You guys can check it out on my Instagram and YouTube. Yeah, I love that kit. So that's the kit. But I got the Truth Drum snare and I got the Istanbul Mammoth cymbals. Because I know a lot of guys in America play Agop and even like the Baffle guys. And I always loved Zildjians like Joe Falk. And I had Zildjians before I had to buy them myself. And then as a drummer, you're looking for endorsements and like the deal is like, what endorsement am I getting and what's the support? And I even had the Heartbeat guys, like I was in contact like 5 or 6 years ago, but we don't have support here like you guys. So for me to get a Heartbeat cymbal and to have it replaced takes 2 weeks and I pay $200 to get it here. So I was like, what's the best deal I can get here? So I found this dealer in northern Germany where I like, when I'm like, I play a concert and I like break the cymbals, the next day I have the cymbal again, right? So that's what really matters over here. So I got all of that Istanbul Mehmet cymbals and love them. And especially like, I know people love the 24 inch rides. And I told that guy, I want to have that. He said, like, Marcus, I can give it to you, but every person I gave it to came back because it's so loud. So I was, yeah, because in America, you got like Bethel or like Hillsong. They play usually big venues. But in Germany, we play at churches and we have stones behind the drums and all these kind of wild, like, it's not like in America. We've played at big venues, but it's not common over here. So as Outbreak Band, we have kind of both. So I need to be flexible. So I was like, okay, I want to have a ride that I can control, really. So yeah, that's kind of some compromises I need to do over here. And that's my drum kit. I play Los Cabos drumsticks, which is like a Canadian drumstick brand. Yes. Yeah. And then even Big Fat Snare Drum, I got some, like, my dealer has all of these brands. And, like, when I'm buying at his shop, I get all of these endorsement deals with him. So that's kind of what was important to me, to have support, quick support, and to have some gear that is, affordable, but I love it. And so I took those Mammoths and I took those Agops and I, like, compared them, and it wasn't really a big difference. So I love them.
Oh, that's so cool. And is that what you're using as well when you filmed your video course?
Yes, that's what I use as well, yeah. And I have some amazing guys who mix my drums, so that's why they sound great. We have been in contact with the Bethel guys, like even the guy who mixes for Jeremy Riddle. His name is Matt Meinhardt. Yeah, I've met with him a few times. And just like some secrets. So we have in Germany some guys who kind of get to learn the art of mixing worship drums, which is rare here. Like, we have been with like professors of mixing, 40 years of mixing, and it just sounds awful because they don't know what worship sounds like, right? So now we have some people over here that really know how big this needs to sound. And I have the privilege of knowing some of these people. That's why my drums don't sound too bad. Yeah, that's true.
No, they sound amazing, let's be honest.
Trying to get there, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, I know time is going, so I want to just switch gears a little back to the spiritual side of things a little more. You know, it's been an interesting year and a half, like we talked about.
True.
Has God, or what has God been teaching you or pointing his finger? You know, like, what are you learning about yourself, maybe? What's God been speaking to you in this season that would be helpful for others to know?
Yes. Yeah, that's a really good question, man. And I've been thinking about this topic a little bit. And I have a few things, but honestly, like, the biggest thing that I was really getting aware of is just loving people. Like, the last months, I really thought about how can I really love people, like, especially in COVID and all these kind of politics in America, and like, people separated just for things that are important, but they stopped loving each other oftentimes. And so for me to learn to love unconditionally is pretty much, I think it's so important to learn to have the few that God has, right? So I have that sentence from Mother Teresa. She said, if you judge people, you have no time to love them. And that has been with me for years, because I really want to walk around and love people. Like, it's not about are they valuable or not, but I want to have the view of God over people. If I like them or not, if they look weird or not, if they know me or not, if I'm famous or not, like, it doesn't matter who you are. People are the most valuable thing on earth, and even to God. And I can tell that story. Like, I play at the church. We just have a small room where 100 people fit. Okay, so we, the bass player of Outbreak Band and me, were there as musicians. And so these other people come that can rarely play. And what we kind of noticed is I got the mindset of every person carries something that I need. So if I'm a better musician or not, if I play on big stages or not, like, this person that just can play a little bit of that or sings like that, I can learn something from you. And all of this topic of having God's view on people is really with me. And having this genuine heart of, like, even the story of the prodigal son, like, this is what God chose to reveal himself, right? It's like, he says, you want to know how I am? This is how I am. I don't even talk about what you did anymore, and I just love you. This is how he celebrates when people come home. And like watching people, homeless people, or just people that you wouldn't be friends with like at first sight, but having that view of God just really stuck with me. And also living in the moment, like with COVID, living in the moment, being thankful, being connected, especially like I do a lot of stuff with my wife too. Like we just recently been on a podcast about marriage. So being connected to your spouse, to your people that are most important to you, like really being connected and finding ways to have a routine of, cause I got the question, like even for you, like with kids, like how do you stay connected after all these crazy years? Like, how do people manage to still be connected as a couple? It's kind of just a question that I really love when people do that. And I always ask it to people where I see that happening. And just like a last question for you guys, to sum it up, I've met some people that said like most of my days are not successful. And so I ask myself the question, what makes my day successful? Like, when do I go to sleep and I say, like, this was an awesome day? Or are you like, most of my days are not that awesome? And so just a question for you guys, like, what makes your day successful? And I noticed I'm a pretty happy guy. So when I spend 15 minutes with my wife with just quality time, sitting there enjoying each other, just a sunset or so, I go to bed and I'm like, it's awesome. Life is so good and I can be so thankful. So I don't need to do all of my to-do list and do all of my things and spend like 2 hours with God to go down there, enjoy 5 minutes with God and say like, I'm so thankful. And even with COVID, like what is your identity? Like, is it music? Is it what you do? Or is it who you are? And God loves us for who we are, not what we can do for him. And like with COVID, all the shutdowns, like you don't need to, like all this, it was good to not do so much for a moment. And just this, I am enough, like God loves me and he enjoys me. And how can I even reflect that too with my emotions and with my life and how I see my days? Like it's a privilege every day. And like right now, my wife is pregnant, like in a few weeks, our baby's coming. It's a crazy season. So for me, it's like, how can I enjoy every moment of my life and be present right now? And I think the most thankful and happy people are the ones that just don't sorrow so much or have fears, but like just live present in the moment, are thankful for what they have, but thrive to even like, yeah, for the future and get better, but also like be present, be thankful for what you have. And I think that's a game changer, because I like when people see me, they don't, I want people to see me and say, what this guy has, I want it. Like I want them to see Jesus and God in me. And if I don't represent him well, they don't want what I have, right? So I'm living the way that I want to live. So when people see me, they want God. Like I don't need to talk, right? I want them to see what I have, and I want them to be jealous of my relationship with my father, so I can talk with them about my father. And if I'm a happy guy and I don't live like sadly all the time, like it's pretty much, it helps probably that people want what I have, and God is so joyful. And I want for you guys to just reevaluate what is important, and go after God, give him your life, give him your passions, chase after your dreams, never stop dreaming, and be something, somebody that people see and they want what you have and they see Jesus in your eyes. Yes.
So good, man. Wow. You're a preacher as well, which I love. Listen, in this moment right here, I think it would be appropriate. We don't normally do this, but would you mind praying for everyone who's listening or maybe watching this on YouTube as well? And whether you want to do it in English or in German, that's completely up to you.
Yes, sure. Yes, thank you, Jesus, for this community of worship drummers and people who love you. And I just pray for all of you guys that, well, we just represent him well, that we will have amazing times with Jesus in the quiet place, just becoming, like, falling more in love with him even more, yeah. And so even for our global family, I pray that this earth will be flooded with praise, flooded with people who love you, musicians, not just singers and worship leaders that go crazy, but even musicians, drummers who go wild. Like, I remember that one time I couldn't even sit anymore. I had to stand and drum because I was so excited. And I pray, like, that this genuine, real, honest heart, like this heart before beat, would invade all of us, that we would be musicians that that would be so hungry for you, so on fire for you, that this world just sees us. And even from the hunger we represent on stage or even on our lives, or too, that they want what we have. And I pray for this worship movements, for all of these bands, that you just, God, that you bless us with even also just your recalibrating all the time, that we would make the center what is the center, that we will love you well. And I pray for all of these musicians and all of these worship drummers, God, we will be a blessing and a pleasure to you. And I pray that that's just the beginning. We're going somewhere. And I pray for you guys that you're wild, that you're on fire, and we can turn this world upside down. Each one of you can be a blessing to you guys' church and to this world. Make it a better place. And thank you, God, that you love us so much. Thank you that you enjoy us. And we love you. And it's such an honor for us to be able to love you back with our instrument and to love you back with our hearts. And thank you so much for this honor that we get to worship you and love you. Amen.
Well, there you have it. What a rich conversation with Marcus. And I pray that you are encouraged, inspired, and feeling equipped to continue doing the work that God has called you to do. You can find show notes for this episode on our website, worshipdrummer.com/034. That's for episode 34. Again, worshipdrummer.com/034. Listen, this is John Manna for the Worship Drummer Podcast. And as always, keep putting the heart before the beat.